1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. It's a controversial passage, obviously, but the main thrust of the passage is not controversial at all. The thrust of the passage is the analogy between the church of Jesus Christ and a human body. That is not controversial. What might be controversial about that analogy is that although we would all confess that analogy, we execute very poorly in living like a real body. When the apostle says toward the middle of that chapter, the eye says to the foot, I have no need of you. And the hand says to the whatever, I don't have any need of you. And then he goes on to say, but if everyone were hands, where would the body be? He's drawing a very good inference from the analogy of a body to show us several things. First of all, he shows us that it is our tendency to be loners. It is our tendency to shut people out. It is our tendency to grab on and say, I can get this done myself. Notice the other analogy that he uses from a body that is particularly important. He says that when one member suffers, all the other members suffer with it. Now, that's true of a human body. Is it, however, so very true of any particular local church? How much empathy and sympathy, how much co-suffering do we have? It's a very important principle that the apostle is bringing out here, and under the inspiration of God's Spirit, he brings the analogy of a body to show us how intimately we are interconnected with one another and how much truly we need one another. And so, as foolish as it would be for a hand to say, I have no need of the rest of my body, it is indeed just as foolish for us to think, to believe, to behave as we have no need for the other members in the body of Christ. That it's okay to be a Lone Ranger Christian. We hear that phrase and we say, ooh, that's bad, that's bad. Good. At least we have it conceptually in our minds the way it should be. But our execution often can be very poor. As far as using the analogy of the body with regard to when one member suffers, all members suffer, it's a pretty important point, and some of you are more well-versed in this than I am, but hearing some other folks talk, I'm not a guy that goes to a chiropractor. I do have a doctor that I go to from time to time, and he and I are becoming, not good friends, but, we're developing a pretty cordial relationship. But, as I hear conversations and speak to people, I had a chiropractor call me from another part of the country, wanted to talk about church, and I talked about his job with him for a while, and he was talking about some things that people do with regard to, their bodies, and how that when something happens, let's say you pull a muscle in your back, we tend to think isolation, don't we? We think, oh, I've got this sore muscle in my back. But the way good doctors are thinking these days is they also want to look at everything that's surrounding that muscle to see how it's compensating, how all of those other components are hurting because there's an injury to the one part. Huh. The Lord knew what He was talking about when He used the analogy of a body, didn't He? Not so very surprising. You see, whether we realize it or not, that's the point. Whether we realize it or not, when we have a member among us that's suffering, we too are suffering. We are not partaking of their full strength, and that causes us to suffer. We don't recognize it. We may move right on by it. We may not even, there may be no cognizance in our minds. You remember that I've told you before that churches that don't have a full-time pastor or that don't have, a session, you know what that is, right? That's a defect in the body. And we cannot operate at our peak efficiency. We cannot operate as we should, as we ought to, without having all of those things in place. So, the apostle here then enjoins upon us to begin considering, to press our considerations of the church to consider that analogy of a human body, Some of you are very astute at the way your body works. Some of you are pretty good athletes. Some of you know a lot about nutrition and the interconnectedness between how we feel and what we eat, or how we feel and if we exercise, or when we're sick, how we feel, and how that can affect even our psyche, our psyche, our soul, that metaphysical connection that God has placed between our bodies and our souls. So also among the members of a church. If there is schism, if there is ill will toward another part of the body, if there is a lack of concern, if one member is hurting and no one comes round to compensate, we see all these things are detrimental. All these things injure. All these things prevent all of us from reaching our potential. You go to a track meet and you see the athletes as they are preparing to run the 100-meter sprint. And let's say that you look at one and he has a gash in his leg. Or let's make it even more appropriate to the analogy. He has a gash in his upper torso. We might say, foolishly, oh, well, it's not in his legs, he'll be okay. How silly. How silly. So ought we to think of one another. So ought we to live as a body of saints. So there is a responsibility. I was talking to a young man this week, and he was talking about, he has all these designs he's going to go to school, and he's going to have a Bible study here and a prayer meeting there, and and there's going to be mutual encouragement and all these other things. And I said, well, those are good, but have you considered, first of all, that you owe those things first and foremost to the members of your church? That's where your first affections ought to be centered. A complete surprise to him. Because in our day, we have de-emphasized that understanding. I think we suffer for doing that. The rest of the chapter, then, is certain members versus other members, right? I mean, not versus in the sense of, a fight, but to be considered separately from other members. And so, as we saw when we studied this chapter a while back in the afternoon sermon series, it is my understanding and the understanding of most good commentators that the Apostle Paul is not saying that everyone is supposed to have these gifts. These are official gifts. This word of wisdom, word of knowledge, tongues, healings, prophecies, teaching, all of these things. This is more something that pertains to church office. And this conversation that he has with us about the comely parts of our body versus the uncomely parts, that the Lord has bestowed upon our more uncomely parts. And some of you, I think, remember vividly the conversation that we had about walking around with your liver hanging out. You remember that? We would say, ew, gross. And yet upon uncomely portions such as that, the Lord has bestowed a greater honor. They do such wonderful work. Try to live without a hand. You can do it. But try to live without a liver. You can't. And so the Apostle Paul here is not giving us a lesson in anatomy. He's giving us a lesson as to how to interact with one another in the body of Christ. How to depend upon one another under Him. How to rely upon one another under Him. How to bear one another's burdens. How to support the weak. How to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let us take these admonitions from the apostle then. Let's not consider ourselves, standalones. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.